The reading today is from the second chapter of John, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding about 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. The word of the Lord. Praise be to the Lord.
Thank you, Connie. Thank you very much. His first miracle, his very first miracle, turning water into wine. What a guy. What a marvelous thing to do. And there's a message deeper in this, that the jars being for the Jewish rite of purification. That would be when the Jews came from market, they would have to wash the world off their hands, the heathen world that they were forced to be a part of, and that water would be poured over their hands. And it wasn't like scrubbing for surgery. It wasn't modern day washing of hands. It was purely ritual. You pour a little water over your hands, and the water in those days was nasty enough. You're getting as much germs in the water as you had on your hands to begin with. They knew nothing about germs. It was a religious ritual to wash away the world so you could be pure again in your pursuit of God. And Jesus uses those jars and turns the water into wine. And even what the steward says about, you know, most hosts would serve the best wine first and then after everyone's drunk bring out the nasty stuff when they were too drunk to tell the difference. But you've saved the best for last. Now, think of that. And think about God saving the best for last. You know, you start with Adam and Eve and Abraham, and you've got Isaac and Ishmael and Joseph and all of these people down through the lines, and Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Habakkuk, who isn't that big a deal. I just like to say his name, Habakkuk. And on down the line, all these prophets and all coming along explaining what God wants. And John the Baptist, and then the best is saved for last, Jesus. You saved the best for last, God. You brought us Jesus. And that is a big part of what that story says as they're writing that scripture. But let's go beyond that. What does Jesus then say? "Everything I do, you will do also in my name." And so we are meant to be the best for last too. In our world, in our families. Of course, there's more coming after us, but our mindset should be the same, of our water being turned into wine, being made even better than we began, letting Christ turn us even better through the teachings and the precepts that we follow and the tenderness that's supposed to be in our heart and the strength of our character. That's good stuff. It's powerful stuff. Now, forgive me for focusing so much on death this week, but we've had a lot of death. And I love doing funerals. I adore doing funerals because at funerals you see people at their most spiritually open and at their very best, at their most mindful. And it's a very productive time for God. People use death around them as a chance to reevaluate, reprioritize, and move in a different direction in their life. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's very much the same concept of saving the best for last. And you're sitting there at a funeral, thinking about the one who's passed on, and your heart is beating, and you're breathing, and you're thinking. And the next step should be, how am I going to use this gift that I still possess? There's a lady named Candy Chang. speaking of water into wine. This lady is one of those unique people who is an artist, but you can't quite put your finger on what she's doing. You know, it's not like just regular paintings or things like that. She did things like she created post-it notes that said, I have lived in blank apartment for blank years and I pay blank amount of rent, and put them all over the place so people could fill them out and we all knew what each other was paying in rent in this one particular area of the city. And she did things with the sides of abandoned buildings with great big murals on them and just stuff in public places. Well, she lost a dear friend who was like a mother to her, suddenly lost a dear mother figure. And she was shook up. And she's walking through her neighborhood in New Orleans every day past this abandoned building. And she thought about it, and she thought about it, and she got some chalkboard paint, and she turned the whole front of that building into an interactive billboard. I have no idea if this is going to hold. But she did this in her neighborhood because she was thinking about life and about death. Eli, you still in the room? You finally get to see what this says. And this is what she did. It was something like this. Please hold. Before I die, and if you can't see it from the back, it says here, I want to, and there's a line. Some of you have been on Facebook. You've seen that this was an activity that Sarah and I did with our youth group this past Sunday night at our second Sundays at 7. We documented what they wrote, and I've since erased the board that Sarah created. Before I die, I want to blank. Now, she did this in her neighborhood, and she got everything from a guy in a hat and a billowy blouse that wrote, be tried for piracy. Someone said, before I die, I want to hold her one more time. Before I die, I want to make a difference. Before I die, I want to thrive. We had one right on here, before I die, I want to grow young. One wanted to fight crime. One was in German, which was cool. Before I die, I want to. This is a great place to start in helping God to turn your water into wine. To start by recognizing the gift of life we've got. The gift of life we got. And we aren't made to be pure. You know, I think God might have tried that a little with the Garden of Eden and given up on it. We aren't made to be pure. We are made to be loved and loving and to do our best. And God forgives us when we screw up. And we all screw up. But God has given us this gift of one lifetime, no dress rehearsal, one lifetime, and filled our jar with water. And then given us Jesus to help us turn that water into wine, to turn it into something of great celebratory value in our lives. And a question like this can make a huge difference in life. I'm standing up here preaching to you right now because of this question. Because of the death of my grandmother the same day I baptized my daughter, I finally opened my ears and heard God's call into the ministry. My very ministry began with death. This band began with death. The death of a beautiful little infant baby. And something so beautiful came from that because people stopped and listened to God and listened to their lives and changed the way they were. This whole church is different because of that very thing. I've got chalk. Lots of chalk in many different colors. And that chalk is going to be placed right up here. In fact, I'm going to even dump it out for you. I'm glad Tammy's not here. She'll forgive me. I urge you to preach your own sermon this morning. At the close of our worship, and our worship is going to end early because it's nasty out there and it might get nastier still before it gets better. At the close of worship, I invite you to come up here and write on the board. When we run out of spaces, write anywhere on the board. There are very few rules. The rule is answer the question how you see fit. But think about this. Think about this. Jesus' very first miracle was set in the stuff of ordinary life. His very first miracle was at a wedding, where he turned plain old water for purification into wine to be drunk immediately in a celebration of all that life offers. Now, as we say during our baptism rites, we are mostly water. And God turns these raw materials into something remarkable if we will be mindful, if we will listen and allow Jesus that miracle in our lives. Let's take a few moments to reflect in silence. And then at any point, as we close our service, you're welcome to come up and write on the board. And we pray. Oh, great God, with the storms of life blowing all around us, it is so easy to be distracted. It is so easy to lose our way. It is so easy to lose sight of you. But here we are. Here we are. Alive and waiting for your word, for your instruction. Here we are, your children, your servants, your people, ready to go forward into the world and truly live a life of fullness and abundance and blessing. Here we are ready to be fullness and abundance and blessing for others, for your children. Here we are looking for your prophets, reading their words from times past, marveling at all that they did. And Lord, if we have the courage, saying as well, here I am, send me. Turn our water into wine, dear God. Bless us that we might be blessings to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn is